Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio this morning is my co-host and the Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Ola. Doc, it's good to have you here today.
Well, again, it's good to be around the Word and around the time of fellowship with God's people. And we pray that what we do and say today will be honoring to the Lord and helpful to those who are listening.
I'm excited about the broadcast today because we're beginning a new series on the program related to worldviews. And we have a special guest here today as a co-host with us. And I'd like to take a minute to introduce him to all of our listeners, Dr. Jim Bennett. I'm so glad you were able to be with us, Jim, and I know you and your wife have been here at Northern for how many years?
We've been about 15 years now.
And I know that you kind of grew up on the campus, and you graduated from Northland and went off, and you did a master's degree, and then you went on and did a doctorate degree in education, and now you have the great honor of being the academic officer here at Northern Baptist Bible College.
Well, it is a privilege, and we thank the Lord every day that he gives us the chance to minister here.
Well, you've been a blessing to all of us, and I know you've had a burden for worldviews for quite some time. What kind of explain to me how that burden came about?
Well, what we've noticed over the last few years, and of course certainly in only 15 years, don't lay claim to having understood how things have changed over the years, but even in the short amount of time, we have seen that our students and the communities they're coming from, just the view of life has changed radically.
Mm.
How they answer basic questions. Who is God? What is the purpose of man? What is the goal of life? And so we've seen them have a lesser ability to answer some of these basic questions. Mm. And so we've developed a real burden to go back to the source of truth and develop the answers that can help them be productive citizens and wise consumers and ambassadors for Christ as they go out into the world.
Well, and you're certainly qualified to do that. I know you've taught history for how many years have you been teaching history?
Well, 15 as well.
15 years teaching history. That's a long time. You probably made history.
We made a little.
Doc, I know you and Jim have done a lot together on worldview. How did you get interested in worldviews?
Well, I think primarily out of travel. I could see a mentality changing where you would go to a foreign country, even a third world country, and you meet believers, and they had one passion, and that was to grow in Christ,
mm-hmm.
new converts grow in Christ. Come back to the United States, go to the average church today, and without intending, we have slipped into the thinking of the world.
Mm.
And I thought, well, changes need to take place. You can talk to teenagers, but really where the change has to happen is mom and dad has to get a handle on biblical thinking. Mm-hmm. What is their worldview? And then I had been thinking on this for some time, and then I heard some radio broadcast dealing with this topic of worldview.
In fact, you've actually written something on this entitled Developing a Biblical Worldview.
Yes, it's just a booklet. It's really just a sketchy booklet introducing the concept of where we have come from the 40s, 50s, 60s down to the present,
mm-hmm.
and what changes have taken place at that time, what major decisions have been made in the United States of America by our Supreme Court that have affected the life of every person mm-hmm. in our country.
Well, I know it's a helpful booklet, and we're actually offering that today on the broadcast to anybody who writes in or contacts us, and you can contact us through the information at the end of the broadcast, or you can go right to our website, www.thewordforlife.org, and simply request the booklet on Worldview by Dr. Olala, and we'd be glad to send it to you. Jim, many of our listeners are just everyday people, and most of them are on their way to work today or maybe on their way home from work today. And one of the questions I had as I listened to you and Doc here a minute ago was, what is a worldview? I mean, when I think of a worldview, I think I know what it means, but maybe it would be good for you just to clarify so that I know exactly that my thinking lines up with what we're going to be talking about. So what is a worldview?
Sure. Well, you know, a worldview has there's a number of analogies that have been used to try to describe what is a worldview. Maybe one of the simplest ones is a worldview is like a pair of glasses. And we all have to walk through life and we have decisions to make, mm-hmm. some of them very grand and some of them very mundane. But how do I view the world? Worldview is something, for instance, that helps us understand what to do when those life's, you know, pressing questions come with an elderly parent.
Mm.
A worldview helps us understand what do we do when we're confronted with an opportunity at work, maybe to work the books a little. A worldview helps us to understand what do I do?
Just like a grid.
Very much so. Yeah, think of it like a rubric, like a grid. It helps me take a potential situation, and I run that situation through my biblical worldview, and at the other end is my decision.
Mm. So a pair of spectacles, a grid, what are some other analogies maybe that would help me?
Different analogies that have been used. Some have compared it to like a buffet, a smorgasbord.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I like that.
Now you're ringing our bell.
Yeah, coffee and a smorgasbord.
You know, how do you approach the meal of the day? You can approach and just say, I'm going to choose my ideas and choose my truth a la carte, and I'll take a little bit of this idea and a little bit of this idea and a little bit from this religion, a little bit from this truth, and I'm just going to kind of bring it all together. Or do you have a more focused approach to how you conduct your life?
How do you, as you and Doc have both been out, how do you find most people pick a worldview? Is that how they do it? Do they do the smorgasbord, or is it more like the spectacles or the grid?
Well, a worldview doesn't just happen. You know, we were told by Romans chapter 2 that we all have an inherent conscience. We're told by Romans chapter 1 that the creation of the world reveals things about God. And so we all have these things that help us inherently develop a worldview. But society presses on so deeply that you can very quickly lose a biblical worldview and respond to the forces of your day.
Well, that's what Paul warns about in Romans 12, isn't it, when he says, don't be conformed, don't be shaped. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so therefore, to answer your question about, you know, how do people develop their worldview today, education is a key one.
Mm-hmm.
Society's forces, the media, you know, the mass media, of course, is something that, to one degree or another, was really not a significant factor in shaping one's worldview centuries ago, but it's undeniable today.
Well, let me ask both of you this question, because I think this is one that would be relevant to me and to many of us. What are some worldviews out there? I mean, like, if I were looking for a worldview, what would I see? What are some ones out there that you've run into or that you know of?
Well, you mentioned, you know, I taught history here for many years, and of course, one of the things about the discipline of history is some people tend to reduce that to just names and dates and facts, and then they find it very you know, non-appealing, and of course that was a burden for someone who's trying to teach it. And so many years ago, I was praying through this and trying to figure out, is there something that could take all of this information, you could integrate it together and help categorize it for the average person who doesn't have time to, you know, read for hours and hours on end. And the Lord led me to Romans chapter 1. And there in Romans chapter 1, you have the Apostle Paul, and it's a reference to what I think is the antediluvian world. And there he is talking about how really everyone has a view of God. When he gets down there, the very end, about verses 20, 21, 22, he talks
for the invisible things.
For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And then it goes on, and eventually it talks about the three worldviews anyone can have. Because really a worldview starts with a simple question: who is God? And what you'll find is as soon as you answer that question, really your whole worldview flows from that answer.
Doc, is that matching up with what you're seeing out there? Comes down to that one question: who is God?
Yeah, that's not only for the world, it's for a believer. Who is God to me? And I think when you see that question answered, it is an ignorance of our God. You see the nation of Israel. How did they drift?
Right.
They really came to the point where it said, he doesn't know, and if he knows, he doesn't care. Whole view of their God.
So a nation like Israel started out with a God-given worldview that God gave them, actually ended up perverting that worldview, and it led them to all kinds of disaster.
Yeah, and because they were influenced by the worldview of the world around them. And they got impacted by that. Jim, you may want to comment on that.
What you just commented on and what you just spoke about Israel could be repeated over and over because this is a pattern.
Yeah, as you say, that's going on right now.
Exactly. And so that's why, once again, we're reminded that the Word of God still has relevance for today. And again, so, you can take all these things and distill them down. I mean, the corruptible God replaced the uncorruptible God. They took the uncorruptible God. That's a worldview we call theism. That God is who he said he is, that God is God, and they replace it with an image made like corruptible man. And we can find, whether it's the ancient Greeks or modern America, people supplanting God's wisdom with their own and making man the God. Or you can see later in that verse, they talk about change the uncorruptible God, not just to an image made like corruptible man, but you see the four-footed beasts and the creeping things referred to there. And that's a worldview we call pantheism. So here in one verse, we have theism, that God is God. You have humanism, that man is God. And you have pantheism, that all is God.
So that all comes out of the question, who is God?
Why don't you repeat that again? Because that is really a crystallized summary of the three worldviews.
Okay, you have very simply there. And the point is, in Romans chapter 1, Paul is making that in the beginning, man knew this. And it does not, therefore, relieve us of a responsibility
That's
to
true,
say
Jim.
That society is just pressing us into this.
Right.
And we are victimized as a result. Romans chapter 1, from the creation of the world, we clearly see who he is. Romans chapter 2,
right.
our God-given conscience. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God.
And so you're saying this knowledge was given at the beginning and everybody started out with it.
Everyone begins a theist.
And either moves to pantheism or humanism.
Or at least we'll say, I mean, obviously we also know everyone begins lost. But everyone begins a theist with their inherent knowledge, and then they make choices throughout their life to move away from that or towards that.
All right. Now, Doc asked a minute ago if we could re-summarize those three views, and I think that's critical for our listeners because some of us, this is a little new to. So when you talk about theism, pantheism, and humanism, can you kind of just summarize each of those three?
Sure. Theism, you know, says that God is the creator. You've heard that Genesis 1:1 has been referred to as the most important verse in the Bible. Refutes dualism, it refutes atheism, refutes pantheism, polytheism. Theism, God is God. You have humanism. That's replacing the wisdom of the uncorruptible God with the wisdom, so-called, of corruptible man. Of course, there's plenty of examples of humanism in our world today. And then pantheism is where they change the glory of the uncorruptible God that they knew with an image made like birds, beasts, creeping things, the animal world, rocks and trees. And that's what we call pantheism, all is God, and examples being like the New Age or Hinduism or some of the Eastern religions we
know
today.
I was going to ask, are those things present? I mean, I can think of pantheism out in the jungle somewhere, but is it right here in the concrete jungle of New York or
Absolutely.
Milwaukee or
Absolutely. And, of course, what you're going to oftentimes find is a polluted worldview, if we can say it that way, is oftentimes taking things that are very good and true and distorting them. So an improper worldview, oftentimes, it's not done on a belligerence. I mean, there are many wonderful and sincere people out there whose worldview is just not biblical. And so what our burden, Doc, and my burden has been over the year, is to take some of these, the things we're talking about and some of the information and just help people who are seeking to go out there and find hungry hearts that these things resonate with.
Doc, when you think about these three worldviews, I mean, how do you see them showing up in the church? Or how do you see them impacting the church?
Well, I don't see pantheism in the church so much as humanism. And humanism is really man running his own life. I also call it practical atheism. That is, I have a theological belief that's contrary to the actions of my life.
Right. Well, this is a good start, Jim and Doc. Thank you for introducing us to this topic, and I look forward to our next broadcast. And let me invite you to return to the next broadcast as we continue this series on developing a biblical worldview. Until then, may the Lord bless you.